My name is Deb O. Powers, and today is October 29th, 2012. I'm interviewing for the first time Gary Haverlant, and this interview is taking place at his home in Columbia Falls, Montana. This interview is sponsored by the North Fork Landowners Association and is part of the North Fork History Project. So Gary, tell us a little bit about your early background, where you were born and a little bit about growing up.
I was born in Helena in 1946, and we came to Kalispell and moved down by the Outlaw Inn. We had a house there where they've got apartment buildings now, and we lived there for a year or two. We moved to the North Fork then, I don't know, 1948, the fall, or 49 the spring, I don't know.
Okay, great. And so you already answered the question of when you came to the North Fork. And where did you live on the North Fork?
I lived at the Wirtz cabin.
Uh-huh. And you were related to the Wirtz, weren't you?
They were my grandparents.
Yeah.
Frank and Ella. There's a picture of them on the wall.
Yeah. That's great. Well, tell us a little bit about them. How did they end up in the North Fork? And
my grandfather came when he was 20 years old. He came on a train. Nothing so fantastic as a covered wagon. He came in a train.
Uh-huh.
And they liked Kalispell. And he came for land. There was free land, homesteading.
Uh-huh.
And he went up the North Fork in 1910 and looked for it. And filed on it in 1913, where the homestead is now.
Mm-hmm.
And worked. It's in my book, all mm-hmm. the things that he did to almost failed,
mm-hmm.
and made a home there.
Tell us a little bit about your book, the name of it. And
it's Wilderness Homestead.
Uh-huh.
And it's my grandmother's notes that she wrote, and she wanted it basically for the grandchildren so we all knew what they went through when they were homesteading. And I have written it up to that point and never published it.
But it is available to people.
I can print it out. Yes,
yeah.
I self-publish it.
Yeah.
It's expensive, though, to
yeah,
do that.
It is.
Time-consuming.
So tell me, like, of all the stories you wrote about your grandparents in the book, what stands out for you that you thought was a really great story about their life up there?
Well, getting to the North Fork took a week.
Uh-huh.
And they had a covered wagon and two horses that were undersized. And they came in the inside road. And if you've been over that,
right,
you know, big
right.
hills.
Yeah.
And my grandmother had a little girl, my mother. I think she was about 10 months old.
Oh, she was a baby.
Born in December.
Yeah.
And she carried a rock. My grandmother carried a rock to put under the wagon wheel when the horses got tired. They could stop and rest and then go on another few feet. And she would, at times she'd leave my mother laying by the side of the road because she couldn't carry both my mother and the rock. And so it was kind of a difficult journey
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Now we complain about a few chuck holes.
Uh-huh.
I still do.
Yeah. And it was nothing like what it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So when you came to the North Fork, how old did you say you were?
I was 2.5
uh-huh.
to 3.
And how come your parents moved up to the homestead there?
Well, my grandmother told my mother that if she'd come up, if they would come up, she would give them a quarter of the homestead.
Oh, that's nice.
And she never did follow through on that, but but they went up there, and my grandparents were out of town. They were leaving. I don't know where they went at that time. They went to Hot Springs, and she worked as a cook. And so my grandfather would be there part of the time, and part of the time he wouldn't.
So when you came up, you were pretty young. So what are your earliest memories of the North Fork?
I suppose waiting for the mail in the winter. That was one of them.
And did it come right there to your cabin?
It came right to the door, but it came on a modified snowmobile. And my earliest memory was they had a big flatbed on the back. They carry packages. And I was just tall enough to look over the flatbed. And there was a big black wolf staring back at me, laying there. The mail carrier had shot.
Oh, wow.
With his fangs showing.
Did it scare you?
Oh, yeah. I was always afraid of wolves because of their howl, I think. Uh-huh. You knew they were out there.
So what was North Fork like at that time when you went there?
Well, it's basically the same. It hasn't changed much, thank God. We still don't have a phone, we still don't have a road, we still don't have power, and we still have a bunch of good neighbors.
Great. That's right.
But we were snowed in the old days. They didn't even attempt to keep the road open.
Yeah.
So from the middle of October to the middle of April, we couldn't get out.
And winters were longer and harder in those days,
They were
colder. Yeah.
I snowshoed on my parents' snowshoes in the yard. I'd fall in. My mother'd have to rescue me. We had a lot of things happen up there. If you need a doctor, you can't get to town. There's no way.
Yeah.
We didn't have search and rescue then. And my mother had an abscess tooth. She had to take care of it herself. Made her face swell out. And she used hot packs until it broke, and then she was better. I remember one time we had probably between 12 and 15 foot of snow. And it was over the woodshed. And my father went out to get wood. And my mother went out to the outhouse. And I was in between, and the snow fell on him and almost killed him. It broke his leg.
Oh, really?
And so she had to splint it. Well, I didn't know what she meant by splinting it. I thought she was going to operate on him or something, you know. I'm screaming, so she had to take care of me and him, too. And she put it in used a couple lodgepole splints and wrapped it with belts and kept it as straight as she could, and he hobbled around all winter, all the rest of the winter, you know.
And it healed okay?
It healed. It was a little bit crooked, but it healed.
Oh, that's amazing. So when he broke his leg, he couldn't go to a doctor, he couldn't go to town, he couldn't get anybody. She just set it and put a splint on it, and it was just as good as it was.
A little bit later, there was the McFarlands with their plane. I suppose they could have done something. But
at that time, nobody. Wow. That's a little scary to think that.
We had the Hokums and the Hammers.
Were those your closest neighbors? Tell us about those, your closest neighbors there. The Hokums and the Hammers.
The Hokums were always a bunch of fun. They were very nice people. We'd go and they'd play cards with them. And till the middle of the night. And they'd come up to our place 1 week, and we'd snowshoe down to their place 1 week.
How far was it apart?
It's a mile.
A mile. So that's reasonable.
In the middle of the night, we were snowshoeing back, I remember, and my dad said, "Watch that moose, Louise." And he went down over Knutson Hill, and we followed the tracks in the night, in the moonlight. And it never turned on us.
That's good.
We never did see it. That was a memory.
That's great. So that was the Hokums. And they were your closest neighbors, I guess.
They were. Yeah. And then some other people came in and bought the Knutson place. They were Fred and Lou Rader. You know, if you've ever heard of them.
I haven't heard of them.
They were really, really great people. And they'd also play cards with them. It's about all we did in the wintertime.
Right. And how far away were they?
They're about a mile also, but it's a little, you know, just a little bit different. Trail to their place.
And you said the Hammers?
Hammers were north of us, and they didn't want to associate with anyone.
They didn't. And how far away were they?
They were about a mile also.
About a mile also. But you didn't see much of them.
Never. I never did see them.
Yeah. Yeah. What about some of the other early homesteaders in the North Fork that you probably knew a lot of them?
Well, you know, at 66, I forgot.
Really?
It's been years. You know? I remember Ralph there, though.
You do?
He was.
Yeah.
He drove off the road at Fool Hen Hill.
Uh-huh.
Went straight down into the river.
Oh.
Almost killed him.
That's a long drop.
And it broke his leg. And he was rescued and put in the hospital. And when we went to visit him, he had to show me this, where a mouse ran up his leg and made the stitches with his tracks. And I was pretty little, I believed him.
You believed him? So you knew Ralph Thayer, and he was north of where you live.
Just north.
Yeah.
And Marie Peterson and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
We were friends of them. Mm-hmm. Of course, we were always snowed in the winter, and it was a little bit too far to walk. But Marie used to walk down and get her mail because Tom was sicker and sicker. He was bedridden at the end.
Uh-huh.
And his legs wouldn't work for him. I don't know what the story was.
Now, where was their place?
They owned where Mary O'Hare.
Okay, yes.
Bought now.
On Trail Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember all of the neighbors, but I know there were a bunch of them. We had Christmas dinner always at our house. And they'd all come, and the house was full of people.
I bet that was fun. Did you decorate?
Very briefly, no.
Yeah.
But we always had, my mother always made candy and bought candy and stored it away.
Uh-huh.
You have to buy all of your groceries before the October 15th deadline.
That's amazing.
For the whole winter.
You had a root cellar, I guess.
Yeah, the root cellar was out back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you just had to store in all your food for the whole winter.
Stored it all. My only memory of that was we had butter after the war.
Uh-huh.
And it came in plastic packets. And you had to break the little center packet, which was a food coloring, because
mm-hmm.
it was white butter.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned it yellow, mixed it. We had case after case of that stuff.
Wow. So on Christmas, everybody would bring something to the Christmas dinner, or would your family just provide the whole dinner?
My mother cooked for everybody, did everything.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of food to make.
She liked to cook for a group.
Uh-huh.
We always had a ham or turkey, and everyone was really happy, and five or six different kinds of pies she made.
Now, was there a Thanksgiving celebration?
Well, there was. I don't remember. I remember just one Christmas, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they came to our household, people came, and we had a group meal often. We didn't have the hall in. It wasn't built until 54.
Mm-hmm.
So everything before that was done in people's homes.
So were there other holidays that you celebrated as a community?
No.
No, just Christmas.
4th of July.
Maybe. 4th of July?
We always had a blast on the 4th of July. We'd catch fish and there were fish in the river in those days.
Right, that you could keep.
That you could keep. And you catch as many as you wanted, and they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
For the fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'd have 80 fish, and sometimes we'd have 3. If the river hadn't gone down right, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little murky, you couldn't catch them.
Uh-huh. So sometimes 80 and sometimes 3.
Right.
So, you know, what was daily life like in the North Fork that was different from how most people lived at that time? This was, what, in the 40s, right?
Right, 40s. We left there in 52,
mm-hmm.
so I could go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I longed to get back on the North Fork every winter. It was in another world away, because I had to stay in school.
Uh-huh. Where were you living when you had to go to school?
Trigo. We lived at Trigo for until 58. And then we came back to the Valley.
So how was life outside the North Fork different from life in the North Fork?
Well, you know, it's really funny. We had an outhouse at school, and it was modern.
A modern outhouse?
Modern. It was... it was really busy with all people all around. It was like living in the city for me. Population of 200, you know?
Uh-huh. Right.
So...
It would be a city after the North Fork.
We had power, we had water, we had...
Yeah. Most of the modern conveniences.
Most of them.
Yeah. Not on the North Fork.
Not on the North Fork.
Can you remember anything else about social life in the North Fork? You know, you played cards in the wintertime, but were you around when they had all the square dances? And...
I was there right at the beginning, playing on the lumber piles. I don't remember with who, but there were a bunch of us that kind of grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Edwards was one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Alan was running around.
Alan McNeil.
McNeil.
Uh-huh.
And we played on the lumber pile while I built the building. The lumber for the roof, you know.
Uh-huh. This is when they were building the community hall?
When they were building it. Mm-hmm. Don't remember too much about the construction. I was still pretty young.
Yeah.
But once it was done, we had a really great time there. It's always been a special place ever since then. And still is when I walk in the door.
Yeah. A lot of memories.
It's like just being back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish we could have more square dances. I wish I could get people more interested in it. Four will have to do.
Four is a good start.
For next year.
So, you know, I hear that they had square dances at the McFarland Ranch before the hall. Did you go to those?
Every other weekend.
Uh-huh.
For a while, we would go. It was for Mary's guest, and she provided a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
And so every other weekend, we'd go to McFarland's, at least one summer.
Uh-huh. Every other weekend, you'd go there?
And every other weekend, we'd be at the hall.
Oh, okay. So every week, you had a square dance?
Every Saturday.
Wow, I bet that was fun.
We had girls around. We had...
These were girls from other homesteads around there?
Oh, Karen and Beverly.
Uh-huh. Do you remember other ones?
The Evans girls.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
There weren't too many.
But there were girls.
But there were girls.
Yeah. So you were pretty young at the time, but were your parents or your mom, was she a member of any of the organizations in the North Fork?
We didn't have organizations like we do today.
Oh, uh-huh.
It was just...
There wasn't the improvement?
The Basic Improvement Association.
Oh, right. That's the one.
They were members of that.
But. Yeah. So you talked a little bit about what the North Fork Road was like in those days.
Well, clear to Columbia Falls, it was in places a single lane.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you knew about it, but just out of town here, by Bailey Lake, there's a couple of miles there that was two one-way lanes. One went one way and...
Oh.
Now and then you'd meet somebody coming up the wrong way. But it was just basically a single lane. And the road's still there. You can see part of it. But basically the road was a single lane that you had to find a turnout. Mm-hmm. To pass anything.
Mm-hmm. So you probably had to go pretty slow, too.
We didn't speed on it, no.
Yeah. Was it gravel?
It was gravel.
Uh-huh.
In places up north, it was just clay. It still is.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of hard to stay on when it gets wet. My father actually did the road work up there.
He did. What did he use to work on the road with?
He graded it
with a regular tractor?
Regular grader.
Mm-hmm.
And he continually worked it through the summer. Mm-hmm. He worked different sections of it. I remember going down, sitting in front of Pole Bridge, out at the road, there was a big fir tree. We'd sit under that tree in the car, in the shade. Try and stay cool, wait for him. Because, you know, 14 miles was too far for him to take his car.
Right. So there were no phones up there, and there weren't any radios in those times, I guess.
There were no radios.
So how did people communicate?
We had the old crank phones.
Oh, you did? Way up there?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh.
Clear up to Trail Creek. And up to the McFarlands.
Uh-huh.
When the phone would ring, everyone would listen.
So it was a party line, so everybody could hear everything. Yeah.
And Saunderson's was three longs, three shorts, and three longs. So you knew who was being rung by the...
Uh-huh. So you knew the Saundersons, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lloyd and Ruth,
uh-huh. They came to the Valley very early, and in a very humble beginning, and made a good living in the mill.
Uh-huh. Did you know Madge and Ollie?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. They were. They were good neighbors to the north. Ollie was the biggest character.
Yes, he was?
He was.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's just he's just an individual. I don't know that I could tell you any stories about him.
Other old-time North Forkers that you can remember? Did you know the Days? Esther Day?
I knew Esther.
Uh-huh.
I remember we had dinner one time at their house. I was sad to see it moved.
That little, it was the little homestead cabin mm-hmm. in the front there?
Mm-hmm. But eventually the road will go over it, I suppose, if the river keeps eating away at that bank.
Yeah, no telling what's going to happen with that. Yeah. So besides the square dances and the playing cards, what other kinds of fun? How did you have fun in the North Fork? I know as a kid you had plenty of fun.
We'd go camping at Trail Creek,
uh-huh.
even when we lived up there.
Like just on Trail Creek or where the campground is now?
Where the campground is now. And we've been there for 60 years at that mm-hmm. particular campground. I love
mm-hmm.
it there.
Mm-hmm.
But last time Carrie and I were over it, I said, I don't know, that road's getting narrower and narrower to me. I'm getting to be a bigger chicken.
It is narrow. Were there any major events like floods and fires and ice storms that you can remember when you were living up there?
No, it was pretty calm.
It was calm in those days, huh? Just a lot of snow in the wintertime.
Lots of snow.
Any other important events?
We didn't have a whole lot of fires because they were logging then.
Uh-huh.
They protected the forest. And if there was a spark got loose, they put it out right away.
Uh-huh.
There were a number of lookouts in the area.
Right. Do you remember which lookouts were up there?
Well, there was Numa Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
Cyclone was there.
Mm-hmm.
Foma was there.
Mm-hmm. Was Thompson Seton still there? Or?
It was, but uh-huh. I don't recall it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So can you think of any other characters or leaders in the North Fork that you can tell us about?
Well, as I was growing up, Lloyd and Ruth came in, and they were really big leaders in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
They furnished the logs for the hall.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money they just spent on the hall.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't asked to spend, you know. There was gasoline for the generator they bought all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They always had brought an excess of food. Ruth ran the record player.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't allowed to touch it.
Is it the same record player was there?
Same one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they played the same old square dance
records. Records that we have now. I'm so glad we got to digitize them.
Me too. Me too. Now sometimes they had a caller come up there, didn't they?
Occasionally, a caller would come mm-hmm. in, and Hunt, I think, was the name of people. She played the piano. He would call the squares.
And she'd play?
Uh-huh.
There used to be a piano in the hall, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah, where did that go?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, Ruth Saunderson found it in an abandoned building, I think at the Kintler Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped herself to it. And brought it to the hall, so we'd have a chance.
I wonder what happened to it.
Yeah, so I don't know where it left to, but that's how we got it.
So do you remember any other close encounters with animals?
A lot of them recently, but not...
Not back then?
Back then. Grizzlies were afraid of people. They knew they weren't protected.
Uh-huh.
They knew they could be shot at.
Right, and they were.
And they were.
Yeah.
And they avoid people.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of blame that because they know they're protected. They're a smart animal.
Mm-hmm.
So now they... Occasionally you run into them. They're not afraid of you. I've had a few run-ins up there. In a huckleberry patch, I had a grizzly chase me out of it and almost got me. But I got behind a tree and I hid until he went by, and then I tiptoed up the hill real quick.
He didn't want you getting his berries.
No, he didn't.
So, over time, what kinds of changes have you seen in the North Fork? You said earlier that it hadn't changed a lot, but it has
it
changed some.
It hasn't really changed a lot, mm-hmm. but it has changed some. There's a big change on our property.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings, a lot of the buildings are gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
The front yard is torn up by sticks of wood being carried into it for the
mm-hmm.
fireplace pit.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a beautiful front lawn
mm-hmm.
with flower borders around. My grandparents really took care of it.
So that property looks a lot.
There in it.
That property looks a lot different now.
It looks a lot different.
Yeah.
But nothing really basically has changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's a Forest Service rental cabin.
Right. And you have to call New York City to rent it.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, isn't it?
We rent it all, and we pay our dues, and we enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Next spring, I want to have a big get-together when everybody gets back in.
Uh-huh. At the cabin, at the Wirtz cabin. That'll be fun.
You're invited.
Oh, thank you. That'll be fun. I'll be there.
Yeah, okay.
Well, any other stories that you want to share?
Well, there's this one that I thought about. It was in the winter. We were hungry, and our next door neighbor
uh-huh.
to the north was Ross Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And Larry was there, and Joe. My dad went out. It was not hunting season. In February, I think the first
uh-huh.
week,
uh-huh.
and we'd run out of food, out of
uh-huh.
meat,
uh-huh.
and he shot an elk.
Uh-huh.
And it went over into the slough by the road. And so he came back to the house. He couldn't find it. He came back to the house and got my mother to look, help look, because he couldn't see very well.
Uh-huh.
And off we went. And we got down to the edge, and he saw that he said where he shot it. And it went that way, but he can't find it. And I said, "What's that, Mama?" Right down over the edge, there was a big red spot
uh-huh.
in the water. She said, "Shh, don't bother me now." So
no.
they were looking and looking, and I said, "Well, right over there," pretty quick. Well, I'll be darned, there it was.
Uh-huh.
So we had to drag it out and get it up and get it across the road
uh-huh.
without dropping any blood for Ross to find.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't. People in those days wouldn't arrest you for feeding yourself,
uh-huh.
but there's no need in slapping them in the face, you know?
Right, right, yeah.
Oh, it was an interesting time.
Well, I think
I
the statutes
like we
of
criminals.
I think the statutes of limitations has probably
yeah.
run out
yeah,
since
yeah.
then. So there probably
Larry
won't
that.
Be coming.
I told Larry that story this spring.
You did?
And he just laughed at me. Yeah, we knew more than you knew we knew.
Yeah.
He said.
Right. 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 Well, great. Well, these were great stories. Can you think of any others before we end the interview?
Well, probably not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, on behalf of the North Fork History Project, I want to thank you for your time and thank you for your interview. And we'll be posting this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.